Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Our mission, as always, is pretty simple. Take complex stuff, source material, and pull out the key insights you need. You know, get you up to speed quickly. We're here to give you that knowledge shortcut. And today, we are doing a deep dive into what might be the most, really specific economic prediction we've ever looked at here. This claim about timing that's so granular, it forces us to like look past the date itself and really dig into the why behind it. I want to read the core idea, the thesis, directly from the material we've synthesized for you. It says, mid-October is the best time to buy in 2025. Just think about how bold that is for a second. We're not talking sometime next year or even, you know, late fall. No, this is a specific month, October, a specific year, 2025. And the really unusual part, a specific window inside that month, mid-October. That kind of precision suggests a pretty profound certainty about something that hasn't even happened.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating is how the source material itself immediately sort of reframes it. It's not just a simple tip. The full context comes from the title we're working with, Excerpts from Mid-October 2025 Buying Caveats. So, okay, we know the date, but the goal of our dive today is really to analyze why they think they can call their shot so accurately, and maybe more importantly, what's the qualifier? What's the mandatory trade-off here? And that immediately throws in the central conflict, doesn't it? This prediction, this optimal buying period, it's tied directly, inextricably, to a caveat.
Yeah.
That changes the whole conversation. I mean, if it was just a simple market trend, you wouldn't need a warning label, right? The fact that there is a caveat implies the real value for you, the listener, is understanding the conditions. What do you need to actually do to get that benefit?
Right, it's like a conditional equation we're dealing with. So to really get our heads around this, we've structured this deep dive into two main parts. First, we need to analyze the specific economic thinking that could create such a hyper-precise window, this mid-October 2025 thing. And second, we need to decode the logical implications of this crucial but currently unstated caveat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's unpack this first part. When an analyst specifies not just Q4, but like the middle 2 weeks of 1 month, what specific market dynamics would have to be lining up in 2025? Why couldn't that window stretch out, say, September through November? The precision makes it feel like a switch flips on and then flips off again very suddenly.
Well, if you connect that to the bigger picture, the source is definitely signaling a highly time-bound market inflection point. Something clicks right then. In, you know, real-world economics, that usually points to a convergence of specific scheduled events, things we know are coming. For example, it could be tied to annual corporate budget cycles. You see this sometimes. Many large companies finish Q3. They look at their books, realize they've got capital left over they need to deploy, and then they start making these large structured purchases before the Q4 holiday slowdown really hits or before the year-end accounting closes things off, that capital deployment window. It often spikes quite sharply early to mid-October.
Hmm. Okay, that makes sense.
Or think about regulatory deadlines. That's another big one. Sometimes, you know, a new tax structure or maybe a major environmental reg is set to take effect, let's say, November 1st, 2025. Well, that impending deadline creates a massive incentive for sellers to move inventory, could be physical goods, could be specific financial instruments, even certain property types. They want to sell before they become subject to the new, probably more restrictive rules. So mid-October effectively becomes the absolute last chance for the old price or the old rules.
That's a really powerful distinction, isn't it? It's the difference between broad seasonal advice, like, okay, prices generally dip in winter, versus knowing that on, say, October 14th, a specific type of asset has to be liquidated because of some regulatory wall coming on the 15th. It suggests the driver isn't just organic demand, but more like external administrative pressure.
Precisely. Exactly. And we also need to put the right weight on that phrase, best time to buy. This isn't just saying it's a good time. It implies the optimal intersection of conditions. We're looking for that sweet spot where price is lowest and maybe availability is highest before Q4 inventory gets shifted around. And the terms, the conditions of the sale are most favorable. The source is basically arguing that these three things only align perfectly for a very brief period, right in the middle of that specific month, and only in 2025.
Okay, so it's like a sniper shot prediction on a shotgun blast. We have the date mid-October 2025, which is like the peak of this opportunity curve. But the analyst is telling us, crucially, that hitting that peak performance means meeting some hidden requirement. It's like knowing the winning lottery numbers, but not knowing you have to buy the ticket at one specific store on one specific day.
Right.
And this inherent conditionality, this caveat, that's where the real analysis has to start, I think. Since the source material actually titles its discussion around caveats, plural, the restriction, or maybe restrictions, must be pretty significant. Let's pivot now. What are the logical kind of structural possibilities that are implied just by the existence of this mandatory trade-off? What could this caveat actually be?
Well, when you look at high-stakes market timing, this kind of precise prediction, a caveat, almost always falls into one of, say, three main buckets: conditions, risks, or limitations of scope. The source is essentially telling you, the potential buyer, that yes, the door is open in mid-October 2025, but you either need the right key to get in, or you have to accept some danger inside, or maybe realize the door only leads to a very specific, very narrow room.
Okay, three buckets. Let's take the first one.
Right, let's start with the first possibility, a condition. This means you, the buyer, have to fulfill some specific requirement to unlock that low price or those optimal terms. For example, maybe the mid-October deal only applies if you're buying above a certain, perhaps significant, volume threshold. You know, buying 10 times the normal lot size or something like that.
Okay, but hang on. If the requirement is just high volume, why call the source buying caveats? That word caveat sounds more like a warning, suggests some inherent danger or difficulty, doesn't it? Wouldn't they just call it like volume discount requirements or something less ominous?
That's an excellent point. And that friction actually helps us zero in on it. If it is a volume condition, the caveat, the difficulty, probably lies in the fulfillment of that condition. For, you know, the average buyer, meeting that high volume requirement might be impossible, or maybe just financially nonsensical. It could mean the best time is only truly best for big institutional players.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe the condition is logistical. Perhaps you have to agree to take immediate, like super high speed delivery within a tiny 48-hour window right there in mid-October. Most buyers just aren't set up for that. So the caveat isn't the volume itself, maybe, but the difficulty or the operational strain that requirement creates.
Got it. So condition means access is limited by your ability, your resources, or your readiness to meet some tough requirement. Okay. Let's move to the second bucket. The risk assessment. What does that imply?
The risk assessment possibility suggests the deal is optimal because the underlying risk is being shifted, maybe entirely, onto you, the buyer. You get the absolute rock bottom price point in mid-October, but only because the asset itself comes with a significant known liability or downside. Let's paint a picture here, a hypothetical. Say this prediction is about buying a specific industrial commodity. You buy it incredibly cheap in mid-October, but the caveat, the catch, is that this product is facing obsolescence. Maybe a new, far superior technology was just announced, and it's scheduled for commercial launch on December 1st, 2025.
So you save money up front.
Right. You save money now, but you're essentially buying guaranteed immediate depreciation. The clock is ticking loudly. Or perhaps the low price is because the asset needs immediate costly maintenance. Or maybe post-purchase regulatory upgrades that end up costing you half the money you thought you just saved. You're effectively paying for the savings with risk and delayed expense.
That makes the date absolutely critical then. If you buy the commodity in mid-October, you've got maybe a six-week window to use it or offload it before that December obsolescence hits hard. If you wait until November, the price might still be low, but your operational window has shrunk dramatically. The risk becomes unacceptable. So the date and the risk are perfectly calibrated, intertwined.
Exactly. Perfectly put. They work together. And that brings us to the final implication: limitation of scope. This is maybe the most common type of caveat, but it's often overlooked. It just means the optimal timing mid-October 2025 only applies to one very specific, very narrow subset of products or assets. And if you try to apply that mid-October rule to a completely different sector, well, you're likely going to fail spectacularly.
What kind of category could be that precise, though?
Well, perhaps mid-October is the absolute best time to purchase specific types of, say, industrial machinery coming off a particular seasonal manufacturing cycle. Maybe the factory absolutely needs to clear the floor to make way for its new 2026 model, so they dump the old stock cheap right then. But that same date, it's probably completely irrelevant to the stock market or, I don't know, the purchase of digital advertising inventory. Those operate on totally different cycles, different drivers. The caveat in this case limits the application of this seemingly fantastic opportunity to a highly specialized niche category.
So if you, the listener, acted just on the date without knowing the product category, you might try applying this mid-October rule to something totally different, like commercial real estate, which we know is driven by long leases and big capital flows, not quarterly inventory dumps. That day would be useless, or maybe even worse than useless, potentially detrimental.
That really is the core lesson here, isn't it? Since the source is explicitly titled Buying Caveats, the analyst clearly considers the conditionality, the strings attached, to be just as important as the opportunity itself. The real knowledge nugget for you isn't just the date. It's understanding that maximum opportunity often demands navigating maximum complexity. When the market seems to offer you a perfect moment, you absolutely have to assume that moment is fragile, that it likely hides a necessary trade-off you must be ready and able to manage. It's a calculation you have to make, not just a free gift.
So let's pull this all together. What does it all mean? We started with this incredibly specific date. Mid-October 2025 is the optimal time to buy something. But through this deep dive, I think we've realized the date itself is maybe the least important piece of the puzzle. The most crucial takeaway seems to be the conditional nature of the opportunity. To actually use that date effectively, you first have to successfully identify and then satisfy the requirements imposed by whatever this underlying caveat is. Whether that's a volume threshold, an acceptable level of risk you have to take on, or a very specific product focus you need to have. If you ignore that conditional trade-off, the date itself becomes pretty much meaningless. Okay, so to quickly summarize this deep dive, we analyzed a source predicting a highly specific optimal buying window mid-October 2025. And it seems driven by some kind of external time-bound economic mechanism, something unique to that year.
Yeah, and the most valuable insight we've pulled out, I think, is that inherent trade-off baked into this prediction. A recommendation this specific almost always carries an equally specific requirement or risk. That's the caveat. You absolutely must understand the conditionality before you can even think about exploiting the window. And you have to realistically assess, can you actually meet the condition? Can you afford the risk involved?
So we really encourage you listening to apply this kind of conditional lens to any powerful prediction or supposedly ideal scenario you encounter going forward. If someone presents you with an ideal scenario, you know, the perfect time to sell, the lowest possible price point, the most opportune moment for a career change, immediately start searching for the corresponding condition. What's the inherent risk? What structural trade-off is required to actually achieve that peak benefit they're talking about?
And maybe here's a final provocative thought for you to mull over. If an economic sector, whatever it is predictable enough that someone can pinpoint the best time to buy down to a specific two-week period, nearly a year in advance, what specific global or domestic systemic factor, something unique to the structure of 2025, must this caveat be designed to protect the buyer against? Is it runaway inflation? A looming recession they see coming? Maybe a big political shift or a trade tariff change? Think about the major, inescapable complexity that this mid-October sweet spot might allow you, just briefly, to sidestep. What is that requirement really shielding you from? We'll leave you to ponder that.